This is a very special episode of the PC Gamer Podcast.
You know, I don't want to go that far because then you pump everybody up and you get the whole family together, and I want it to be more like a surprise, you know?
We could say it's the worst one and just lower everybody's expectations.
Oh, yes, the worst podcast ever. This is going to suck so bad.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 129 for April 17th, 2008. Thank you, podcast producer Andy Bauman, for the musical interlude. Andy and I are joined today by senior executive editor and resident barbarian Chuck Osborne.
Shazam!
Senior associate editor and ferret photographer Dan Stapleton.
Ferret? No, meerkats. Not ferrets.
Oh, it was a meerkat, yeah.
More on that later. Of all people, Logan, I would expect you to get this right.
I know, that was a horrible error. My bad, yeah. Faux pas.
Just wait until you see the picture of the baby tree kangaroo I took at the San Diego Zoo.
Overload. And finally, craft fantastic intern Norman Chan.
Hello.
This week on the PC Gamer Podcast, did Ars Technica deliver a low blow to Assassin's Creed, or did that post just happen by accident? Team Fortress 2, Gold Rush, and hanging out with Valve. Mass Effect PC system specs have been released and lube is not required. Popular Science says, forget the CPU, buy a better graphics card, and the flame war begins. Windows XP retires in June, and Microsoft is ordering everybody to move to Vista. And another episode of Master PC Theater, performed by the PC Gamer players, plus witty banter, industry gossip, ad hominem attacks, and much, much more. First of all, we have Norm took a look at the newest Team Fortress 2 map called Gold Rush. And spent the evening with Valve, did you not?
I did. Two nights ago, Valve had a special event in the city.
And I was so pissed off because it was supposed to be earlier, and then they postponed it to when I was on vacation.
Yeah, many jokes about Valve time. They originally scheduled this preview event to preview Gold Rush and also their new medic achievements for late in March, but they rescheduled it to this past Tuesday. Still, PC Gamer showed up. I was there. Dan Morris was there. Jeremy Williams was there. And some of our buddies at MaxPC were also there. We kicked some major ass in Gold Rush. The map is fantastic. We've seen previews of it before, and they've gave us screenshots, so we've never had a chance to play it. Now, the map is this new gameplay mode called... what is it called?
It's the
Payload. It's called Payload, right. It's not. I was about to say the Hunted, because it's very similar to the Hunted, but one of the things, we're talking to Robin Walker, the designer for TF2, and they actually really want to redo the Hunted. That's one of the gameplay modes they're tweaking around with right now. It's tough because you kind of have to have like a third class of character, someone you can't, who has special abilities as the Hunted, but they really haven't figured out a way to get it to work in the public game space. I mean, on a private LAN when, you know, maybe like... in our offices, it would be really fun, but when there are griefers out there and people who just don't play nice, El Presidente could ruin the entire game for everyone. But back to Gold Rush. Gold Rush, it's very similar to Dust Bowl if you've played TF2. And it's split into three sections, and there's an attacking team and a defending team. So the blue team has there's a setup time, and it comes out, and there's a cart on the rails, which is a huge bomb on it. And you, if you're standing next to the cart, the cart will move forward, it'll also heal you, and the red team will, you know, throw sticky grenades and rockets at you and try to stop the cart from moving. It's hilarious because what people have started to do when we were playtesting it is rocket jump on top of the cart, and they would ghost ride the cart.
Well said, sir. Well said.
And what Rob Walker told us is at the very last stage, the very last point where you're supposed to get the cart to, it actually drops into the enemy base and the bomb explodes. So the cool thing to do now is to get on top of the cart, don't die, and then fall down into the hole with the cart. And there might be an achievement tied with that, but they're not so sure yet. What we also got to try out is a new medic class. There are a bunch of new weapons. And they had to redo the entire backend for TF2 because they wanted to accommodate unlockable weapons and more detailed statistics. So the three new weapons they showed us, one is a new medic gun, which I think you get when you unlock like 12 of the new medic achievements. There are 36 new achievements. So once you complete 12 of the achievements, you get a new medic gun. It's this new syringe gun. And instead of just damaging people, you get health as you damage people, which is kind of neat. The second is a new, if you get 24 of the achievements, your Uber charge, instead of giving someone invincibility for 10 seconds, you give them 100% crits for 10 seconds, which is devastating. We tried that with a soldier class at the party, and it would just take out sentries in two shots and decimate the entire opposing team. So the third weapon, I'll skip really quickly, is called the Uber Saw, which is going to be really hard to get because you need to get every single one of the 36 new medic achievements to unlock it. And the Uber Saw, if you melee someone with the Uber Saw, it charges your Uber charge to 25%. So all you gotta do is melee someone four times and you'll have a full Uber charge, and then you can use like the 100% crit thing. So the medic's gonna be a really powerful class. They're also planning new weapons, three new weapons for every other class, but those haven't been unrolled yet, and the medic one will be the first one to come out in about like 2 weeks.
So which of these do you think is the biggest game changer?
I think it's gonna be the crit, 100% crits. I mean, if you get someone who's really good at, you know, the soldier class, or a really good heavy, because a heavy already has a ton of health, and they're firing, you know, crit minigun bullets, I don't know if that's going to destabilize the balance for the old maps, because obviously they've tested it with a new map, Gold Rush. But and one other thing, this wasn't supposed to come out at the party, but because the build of the game they had at the party was the latest one that had all their intermediate tweaks, the engineer class actually had some tweaks to it too. You can actually also upgrade your dispensers, and you can upgrade your teleporters now. So if you upgrade your teleport to like a level 3, it'll only take like, you know, 3 seconds for it to fully charge up and teleport you to the front lines, and the dispenser will heal you almost as quickly as a medic will if it's fully upgraded.
Right, and just so everyone knows, you're not taking all this news from some rank amateur. Norm is currently topping the charts on Team Fortress 2.com. What's the URL?
Well, there's a third party stats site called TF2scores.com, and it tracks a ton of servers on the East Coast, West Coast of the U.S., you know, in Europe, in Asia, and even in Africa. And if you go to TF2scores, as of right now, I believe I am still number one in the West Coast.
Wow. That's some bragging rights right there.
Yeah, dude.
That's pretty awesome.
And you guys were dominating at the party, right?
We were totally dominating at the party. I mean, the map is really fun, but I think no one knew all the, like, the side routes yet, and they didn't know and it was like we were playing 7-on-7, so there weren't enough players to have, you know, a ton of engineers and sentries set up. But we got to a point where we trapped the other journalists, so to speak, in their spawn points for like 5 minutes, just destroying them.
And isn't there a screenshot on IGN of you guys dominating the charts?
IGN also ran a preview of the event, and they had an opportunity to take some screenshots from the games that we played. So if you go to IGN's preview and check out the screenshot section and blow it up, you will see in the top right corner, Team FU effing everyone up.
And FU is for Future US, right?
That is correct.
So Norm, is one of the strategies then to, like, put sticky bombs onto the minecart itself?
I don't think sticky bombs can actually stick on the minecart. They can stick around the minecart. I wasn't playing demo, but because of the setup time, you get the 60-second setup time before the game starts, before each of the three sections begins. There's a lot of sticky bombing the minecart. And there are a lot of sniper decks on the map, definitely a lot of back roads. It feels a lot like Dust Bowl. I love this attack and defend gameplay mode.
And so do you think demo men will be like the most important class in that game style?
I think they're the most important class right now. if they're the toughest class to master, but I think they will become very, very important.
All right, so shall we move on, Logan? And,
well, finally, when?
No, they're in the final polishing stages right now. Obviously, they couldn't say exactly when, but.
And they are operating on Valve time.
Yes,
but you know, they want to perfect it. They don't want to have to patch it. You know, 2 days after the map comes out, because obviously when you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people playing online, someone's going to break the map, right? But they said probably within the next 2 weeks.
Nice. Cool.
That soon, huh?
Yeah. We've been waiting a long time. I mean,
it's true.
Well, there's been some moaning and groaning on the interwebs about Assassin's Creed lately. At least that's what Ben Kuchera wrote this week at Ars Technica in his story, Assassin's Creed on the PC. Bad UI, bad DRM, bad port. Now, some of Ben's arguments against the PC port of the game seem valid and tenable to me. Basically, the obvious ones, which is the 159 steps it takes to exit the game, as documented by our own Dan Stapleton on Assassin's Creed, I Can't Quit You, which you can catch on YouTube. And then there are the unskippable cutscenes. But then this guy goes on to whine that the game is, quote, locked in widescreen mode, so gamers with full-screen monitors are forced into seeing bars at the top and bottom of the screen, unquote. Yeah, Ben, that's because it's a widescreen game. He also says that new content added to the PC version feels tacked on, which of course makes it a horrible game altogether. But the part that I find the lamest is when he claims that, quote, many, many people are suffering from bad crashes throughout the game, and it's rendering the title almost unplayable. Many, many gamers. How many gamers, Ben? 5? 50? 500? And who are they? He gives us two examples. But they're not his examples, mind you, but unconfirmed testimonies from forum posters, for heaven's sake. Well, I hope he read a little further down, because one poster who commented on the piece brings up a fine point. He writes, "While I believe that Ubisoft would be better served with no such DRM, I do wonder how many of those complaining about crashes are using cracks. IronLore, Titan Quest developer, faced a similar problem due to bad cracks of the anti-copy protection in their game. People would swear till they were blue in the face that they weren't using a pirated copy, only to refuse permission for the devs to take a look at their machine or confess at the last moment that they were using cracks." Unquote.
Right, and I do remember that that post from it was kind of a postmortem on IronLore,
yeah.
Where they had this problem where they had had DRM in there where if like at random points, it would crash your game to the desktop if it detected that you were using a pirated version. And people, and you know, it was kind of a debate that went on. Well, was that a mistake? Because you know, it didn't give a message saying, you know, you've tripped this copy protection. So people just thought it was a crash. And then people using the pirated version went online and started complaining about how buggy it was.
Devastating, you know.
Right, and it gave them a bad rap because pirates were having problems with their pirated version. Now just to back up a little bit, I do have to kind of agree with him on the widescreen thing because I can't remember any other case of a game where it's been locked in widescreen mode, where it's put, you know, bars on the top and bottom of a 4x3 monitor. And well,
you don't complain about movies when movies come. I mean, we rent DVDs and the movies. They have to be in widescreen because you don't have a widescreen monitor. I mean,
right, they have both formats. You can buy either one you want.
Well, the format, I mean, the way they get out of it is a cheat. It's pan and scan. You cut off the sides.
And, well, yeah, that's what you do in every other game ever. You know, every game since the advent of the widescreen monitor. I think that it is a little bit lazy on Ubisoft's part to not have a 4x3 uh-huh. option. I am curious though as to whether they have a if that same restriction applies on consoles. Because I mean if it's the same kind of situation on a console, if you're playing on a 4x3 television and you get the top and bottom bars on there, then it's got nothing to do with the PC port.
I mean, I played on.
Did anyone play it on the Xbox?
I did, but only on a widescreen.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Here's the thing. Did he specify, I mean, is it the entire game that's in widescreen, or is it just the cutscenes and certain sequences?
It is the entire game.
The entire game.
Yeah, right. for example, the video I did on the 11-step program to quit out, I switched it to 1024x768 resolution so I could capture it at a decent frame rate, and it put those bars at the top and bottom, and that did kind of confuse me, but...
Okay.
He also talks in this post though about like graphical glitches with NVIDIA cards. All of us have NVIDIA cards, and we haven't had any of these problems. I've had one crash in my entire experience with the game so far.
I've installed it on two different systems and a MacBook laptop, and it's fine.
Right.
See, so yep. my beef is that, you know, Assassin's Creed was leaked to BitTorrent weeks, maybe even months before the game was released. And the release claimed to be the final shipping version. Well, I downloaded that version. Yes, I did. Not the initial release in which you couldn't even finish the game at the Jerusalem level.
Right. That was based on a preview version that said, like, we got to play. So, yeah. Somebody in the press apparently leaked that, which you know, pissed off.
But then there was another release afterwards which claimed to have fixed that, and that was the final shipping version. And it crashed like crazy. It was a nightmare to play. And just like you guys, the game I installed from my boxed copy hasn't crashed in over 2 weeks of play, and I've been playing it on three systems, including a laptop, for Fido's sake, you know?
Right, and you know, this is just another. I mean, it's kind of an indirect way that piracy is hurting PC games, because it's giving them a bad reputation that they don't deserve, because they're playing versions of it that were leaked before they were finished.
Absolutely. Now, developers do have to shoulder some of the burden here, because if they didn't release buggy games so often, people wouldn't be so quick to believe that online commentary about buggy releases. But in this case, I think Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft are getting screwed. I suspect that they released a quality product, a fun game, and it's being torpedoed by griping from pirates. And I'm all about hammering pubs and devs when they screw up. But you better back up a story with better evidence than one unattributed screenshot and forum chatter.
Right, and like another thing that they're complaining about in this article is DRM. I haven't run into any abnormal DRM on this at all. They're claiming that it contacts Ubisoft servers, which may be true. I don't have a packet sniffer, but they're claiming that is somehow causing crashes. I don't see how that could possibly happen, because the game does not require an internet connection to play at all. Unlike BioShock, for example, which made you check in, this didn't have any kind of activation or anything. I don't know what they're smoking.
Yeah, I think Ben deserves a spanking. You know, sure, it's possible that the game really was disastrous and unplayable on some systems, but the way he takes forum chatter at face value, you know, he starts sounding like Jack Thompson, scrambling for any shred of evidence to support his headline.
Well, and when you think about it, when was the last time you went to any game forum after, like, soon after a game came out, and it wasn't, there weren't just, you know, a page or so of people bitching that it doesn't work on their system? Because there is inevitably, by nature of the way the PC is, there are so many configurations out there, they can't possibly test on everything, so there is inevitably going to be some conflicts. The people that go to the forums... Yeah, the people that go to the forums are generally not the people that are, hey, I'm having a great time playing this game. There are some of those people, but mostly it's people that come there because they're having problems. Yeah. So forums are never really that representative of the population that's playing the game.
And I feel like if you're going to slam, you know, a publisher or developer in an article like this, then, you know, you need to look at the forum posts and see if you can duplicate some of these crashes and problems, whereas this guy seems completely uninterested in examining whether or not the game really was at fault. And then to make matters worse, he keeps referring to the game as a title. And that pisses me off. He does it like 6 or 7 times in the article.
Title, just a semantic thing.
That drives me crazy.
Hey, Logan, you're a title. don't be such a title.
It's a meerkat, not a title.
Well, I mean, you know, Ubisoft has had a bad record of releasing substantial ports. But apparently not in this case. So, you know, I'm sure that their own record has probably contributed to this. But, you know, it sounds like they actually did put out a good port this time, you know, with extra content for the PC. Gotta love that,
right? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it does kind of sting to see, you know, maybe they did put some effort into it this time, and they're getting crap for it. You know, that's not going to encourage them to put effort into it in the future.
Yeah.
At the end of the article, it says something about there being an issue with 8800 GT cards. Is that true at all, or is that just sort of a one time thing?
Yeah, I don't think any of us are. Are you playing on a GT?
On this system here, I've got under my desk is 2 8800 GTs in SLI. No problem.
Oh, really?
Okay, good.
Really?
Because I want to get the game, and I have a GT, and yeah. Hopefully there's no issues.
We'll be very interested to hear from you if you have any issues with it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that it's impossible, of course, you know, that this isn't happening. But, and if you are having that problem, and if you do think it is the 8800 GT, you know, of course, urge you to update your drivers. First thing that you do. But I'm just bothered that, you know, that this guy just so cavalierly,
Yeah, and if anyone out there listening
on the game.
Yeah, if anyone out there listening has GT 8800 GT and is having problems with the game, we'd love to hear about it because all that we've heard so far is purely anecdotal and no verifiable first-hand accounts. So
yeah. All right. Whoa, that was quite. Oh, that was an Assassin's Creed. Oh
no.
Oh,
no. I'll go there.
Don't hold it in. It's not good to hold in laughter. Go ahead. Anyway, Mass Effect PC system specs have been released, and they are pretty reasonable, actually.
Yeah, I mean 6800. I can do that.
The game is an Unreal Engine 3 game, correct? So
is it?
Yes.
I think it's a modified Unreal Engine 3 game. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I mean, all you really need is a Shader Model 3 card. There are some anti-aliasing issues with that engine, but otherwise, it doesn't surprise me that it's reasonable.
Right. Yeah. It requires for XP is it's 1 gigabyte of RAM, 2.4 gigahertz CPU, or it says a 2.0 gigahertz AMD. So,
it's and 12 gigs on your drive. Woo!
Yeah, and a 6800 GT or ATI 1300 XT or better.
So. Is 12 gigs on your drive really a big problem these days when you can buy 500 gigs?
No, not these days.
Under 100 bucks? I mean,
It's not a big deal, but I've got, of course, 12 huge games of that size on my drive, and I'm getting to the point where I have to be selective again.
Right. I've got
it doesn't bother me at all, but...
Yeah, I've got a 150 gigabyte Raptor that I run my OS and games off of, so it does fill up. But how many games do I really play at once? Not that many. So
yeah,
I don't mind uninstalling once in a while.
And I hear the game is sexational.
it is very good.
Yeah,
I played it on the Xbox 360. It was very good game. I'm looking forward to the PC version, especially with the new HUD. Because if I had one complaint about Mass Effect for the 360, it was some of the controls were just very clunky, especially the driving.
Oh, I hated driving.
Yeah. The one disappointing thing I've heard about the PC version, though, is that the downloadable content pack that's been released for, or has it been released yet? But there's a downloadable content pack for the 360 that is not going to be included in the box of the PC version, so that's kind of disappointing. But
yeah, I was really surprised about that actually. I'm wondering if they're going to hold off and release it, for the PC and try to get people to pay for it.
Yeah, I tend to think that it might have something to do with just not having time to put it through QA on the PC. Although they did push the release date back a couple weeks. So I don't know if that is a valid excuse anymore.
And Chuck, as somebody who used to be a child, were you shocked by any content in Mass Effect?
I was just totally blown away because seeing the side of a woman's breast it made me question the existence of God.
Yes,
actually.
Wow, yeah. Devastating. Absolutely.
Chuck,
sorry about that.
Chuck has not been the same since.
I haven't.
I know, sort of glum.
No, because
lately,
because really, I believe that a nipple is probably the worst thing that people can see.
Now, see, I haven't played the game yet, and I was hearing chatter about some hardcore humping. What's up with that? Why? What is that not in there? Or
No, they forgot to put that in there. Some people are seeing it, but I think they're just having visions.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And according to the developers, they're not putting the hardcore sex into the PC version either. So it's like, what's up with that?
Wow.
That would have been some outstanding extra content. Now, I tend to think that people that look at what's in Mass Effect, and I've seen the YouTube videos that were all the rage during the big Fox News blow up about it. But I think the people that look at that and see hardcore pornography, I think they're projecting a little bit. I think they really want to see hardcore pornography. Maybe they've just been watching too much of it.
Damn you, Internet.
Popular Science Magazine has picked a side in the Intel versus NVIDIA battle, saying, forget the CPU, buy a better graphics card instead. So this goes back to an argument we were having a couple weeks ago. Intel was boasting that, oh, pretty soon you won't even need a graphics card. And we went back and forth on that a little bit. There was some posting about it on our podcast forums as well. And Popular Science is basically kind of repeating what NVIDIA has been saying, which is the GPU is so powerful that you may get better performance, not just in games, but in applications in general, by buying a faster video card.
Well, they're definitely, I mean, GPUs are technically more complicated than some CPUs.
More transistors.
More transistors, and they're more, way more specialized, obviously. I don't know why it's mutually, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive.
No, it does not.
I mean, unless they both have, like, you know, dedicated physics processors, in which case, then the benchmarks will show who's right. But, you know, you can't have a computer without a CPU, and you can't have one without a GPU, so...
Well, we did have a forum poster who seems to know more than I did, who indicated that GPUs are actually better suited for physics processing than CPUs.
Right.
Because of the way they process information.
Right. So, if that's the case, then GPUs are arguably far more useful for gaming than CPUs ever could.
And then NVIDIA, I mean, they bought a Gia, and they're soon going to be releasing, I think, new drivers and software that will unlock all Gia physics for people who have 8 series cards.
8 series?
8 series cards. So it's just, you know, adapting their GPU for the Gia software, which I think says a lot about the value of, you know, the old Gia cards.
Yeah. Oh, that was sad. They're laughing at AGA. It was a good card. It just went nowhere.
Well, I mean, they're still around, but I do kind of have to laugh. I remember going to a QuakeCon a couple years ago and going to a presentation by the president of AGA, or at least the then president. I'm assuming he's still with the company. But the focus of his speech was how GPUs are not physics processors, and physics processors are the only way to get realistic, great physics on your PC. And so all this talk about how, you know, you could just put all that stuff on a GPU, it's not going to work. It's not the future of physics processing. Whoops.
Well, and I still wonder, though. I'm sure that you know, a dedicated PPU is going to be even better than a GPU diverted to process physics. Although I still wonder if NVIDIA didn't buy a Gia with some implementation of their technology on their cards in mind. You know, with maybe the next real generation. I mean, the 9 series is basically a little step up from the 8 series, but the next generation of NVIDIA cards, I would be surprised if they don't have some kind of integrated physics hardware in there. And it might not be a heavy lifting chip like the AGEA card had, but I'd be surprised if it didn't have something.
Also, keep in mind that you know, even if a processor is better at doing certain types of tasks or activities, you still have to worry about the interconnects. You know, how fast is the bandwidth going in and out of the processor? You know, and so there's that to take into account too. But I think, you know, Norm nailed it. It's, none of this has to be mutually exclusive. And I think NVIDIA and Intel are both benefiting from the added press. So, yeah. Hey.
It seems to be a pretty friendly rivalry. I don't think either of them
absolutely,
have any plans.
Absolutely, it is.
Neither of them wants the other to go out of business, I don't think. So I don't think they see each other as
they
competitors.
They all want ATI AMD to go out of business.
I mean, the only area these two companies compete in is, I guess, motherboard chipsets and integrated graphics chips.
Speaking of going out of business, Windows, Microsoft is saying that Windows XP will no longer be sold after this June. At least not to resellers. Now, that doesn't mean that all the copies are going to disappear. It just means Microsoft will no longer be selling, you know, in bulk to vendors or be putting new boxed copies on the shelves.
Yeah, I wonder how well that's going to go over.
So I guess it's that nobody is using Windows XP anymore, and so they just can't sell it?
Yeah.
No, I figure, why are we doing this? You know,
I think this is going to end up being a lot like the I just went to Mexico for a vacation, and there are signs up everywhere saying you're going to need a passport to cross across the border as of June 08. Well, they just pushed that to June 09 because people just weren't getting into the spirit of things and getting around to getting their passports. So so I suspect this is going to be a similar situation where they're just going to keep pushing it back because the Vista situation is just kind of stupid. So
well, it had already been pushed back from January 08.
Right. So I suspect it's going to keep going back. Because they're going to have demand for XP for a while now.
Maybe they should just outsource purchasing Vista to to other third world countries and just make them all buy it.
Right.
But we'll see how that goes. We will check back in with y'all in June on that one.
Although I think just to further illustrate this point, the Mass Effect system requirements for the RAM, it was 1 gig for XP and 2 gigs for Vista. I mean, RAM is cheap these days, don't get me wrong. I have 2 gigs in my machine, and I'm sure it'll run great on my machine, which is running Vista. But, why put people through that expense for no added performance?
Yeah. Hey, but there's still, a month and a half to get your copy off the shelf? Ladies and gentlemen, right now I would love to pause for a moment with Master PC Theater. I think it's time. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Woo! I think it's time for me to leave.
I heard a squeal.
Woo!
Norm's feeling suddenly self-conscious, and he's going to excuse himself to work on it.
No. I'm going to disqualify myself from. Or I'm going to qualify myself for entering the contest because I don't want to listen to it here, so I can actually listen to it later at home. And take part in the guessing.
You're still disqualified because the script was sent to you in advance.
Oh, I deleted it as soon as you sent it.
I can't back that up. Sorry.
Yeah. We should also mention we should give props to Rontos, who correctly guessed that last week's script was from Max Payne, who was the very first one.
And he guessed first. Yes. Well done, Rontos. It sounds like a brand of something. Like
yeah, that one was a pretty easy one, but I think this one is going to be prove to be much harder than any of the.
So for all you whiners who wrote in, "Oh, that was easy," pick up on this one. All right, gentlemen.
I can't believe it. The greatest minds of our galaxy, all dead and gone. Gentlemen, science was just set back 100 years.
Oh, cry me a river, sister. You blew up the planet with that little experiment of yours.
You don't know what you're talking about. That mistake you saw responding to the spatial disturbance that split the planet in half. Nothing more.
She's right, Ace. Shut up and stop trying to look smart. We've got bigger problems.
Engines are dead, navigation's kaput, and who knows where the sender's spike put us. I can reroute auxiliaries to pump up life support, but that'll only buy us about 2 weeks. With any luck, we'll drift into populated system before food runs out.
What are we going to do until then, ma'am?
Try not to go crazy.
Woo!
Yeah,
that was hot.
Yeah.
Well,
who was that sultry gal?
I don't know.
You know, I am expecting for a professional game developer or publisher to contact us at any moment to hire us all the way to become professional voice actors. I think we're fantastic.
Who wouldn't? Man.
There have been games with worse voice acting than we've just done.
Well, that's true. That is very true, actually.
We should do our own award show at the end of the year. For ourselves.
So everybody out there, if you think that you know the name of the game that we just did a scene from, go to PCGamerPodcast.com and put in your guess. And the first one will get props at the next week's podcast. And also, we'd like to give some additional props to the person who sent us the script. It was Thomas Sloney. So thank you very much, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Thomas.
You rock.
If anyone else has a script that they'd like to send us for us to perform on the PC Gamer podcast, please send it to editor@PCGamer.com.
Keep in mind that what we can do with just a few lines, all right? We're artists.
We really bring it to life, I think.
I think so. All right, let's take some reader questions.
Hey, guys, this is Rob from Clone in New York. About a year or so ago, I had asked you folks about reviewing the Mac Pro as a viable PC gaming platform, and Logan graciously replied, and you guys did a review on it. At the time, you guys weren't thrilled with it, but you said it was an okay gaming platform. About a year and a half later, I guess, I decided to go ahead and get one because I found a good financing plan, and I thought I'd have to do some upgrading on it, like get a better video card or more memory, but right now the ATI 2600 HD it came with and the quad-core processing and the 1 gig of memory seems to do fine with this. It plays Oblivion fantastic, it plays Civ 4, it plays Bioshock, it plays Half-Life 2, and I'm thinking maybe you guys might be a little too harsh with your standards, because I think it's a great plan. It's a great PC gaming platform. What do you guys think? Thanks. Bye.
I think that what he forgot to mention was how much he paid for it. Because a similar PC with those specs is going to cost about 30% less.
I'd even say 50% less.
Yeah, I mean it depends on, you know, where you get the PC, if you build it yourself, blah blah blah. But I'd say at least 30% less. Like we say, and they're probably very very capable gaming machines. Like our test was, you know, a while back, so that was an older model Mac, but
yeah.
But it still performed respectively, but it just price performance ratio, a PC just blows it out of the water.
And we had some other gripes, you know, especially like you know, your options on video cards are very much lowered on the Mac side. You know, they need drivers, they need to be supported by Apple.
It also needs like a dedicated Mac version of the card, doesn't it? Because the BIOS problem, don't actually have a BIOS; they have some other version.
But that said, you know, I think it's still a fantastic gaming machine. Macs have never been fantastic gaming machines until recently.
And, well, until they switched to Intel, and you can run Windows on.
You know, I mean, Norm does tons of gaming on his Mac here in the office, on his MacBook Pro. And there is that final argument, which you just can't get around. They do both OSs, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And the other argument you can't get around is they cost a whole lot more.
Yeah, that is also true. And you have to deal with Mac people.
Do you guys find yourself holding a lot of hate for Mac?
No, I love Macs. I really do.
Because I have unbridled hatred for Macs for no good reason. I don't know why. I just
that's fantastic.
I was using a Mac for a long time before I got really into gaming, and I convinced my parents to split the cost of a PC with me. But the thing I wanted to mention was a friend of mine sent me an article from, I think, Popular Mechanics again, where they had compared a Mac and a PC, and say, a Mac runs Vista faster than the PC, but it was a really bad setup they had, because they were testing Penryn processors against older models. Macs had the Penryns, the PCs had older models. They were saying, the processors are better on the Macs, but we'll make up for it because the PC has, you know, a couple extra gigs of RAM. Well, that doesn't help unless you're actually doing something that uses it. So their test was very flawed. And I don't think they took price into account either. Macs are not the best gaming machines, but they're decent gaming machines.
But we need people like you, Andy. We need them. We need you to counter the irrational, you know, thing going on over on the Mac side. Macs are great. Macs are so wonderful. Blah 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 blah.
That's where it stems from. I don't know, but it's just like working in multimedia, especially. Because I'm sure all your designers use Macs, which is fine. But I design and I do editing and multimedia video, and I'm on a Windows PC, and it's fine for me. And
right, and Macs have lost their edge in multimedia design in the last few years. They kind of gave up on that and just went for, you know, accessibility and things like that. So
I have noticed one thing, though, about people who use Macs ever since they changed over to Intel. Ever since that happened, I would swear that Mac people started smoking more. Almost everyone I know who uses a Mac now smokes, but nobody did years ago. No Mac user.
I have not noticed that a correlation in that personally. But
now they're like human chimneys. It's unbelievable. They may as well just light the pack. You know what I mean?
So I don't know. I'm not confusing correlation with causation. I'm just saying this is my, you know, anecdotal observation. So let's move on to our next question.
Hey, PC Gamer guys and gal. This is Incredibly Shallow from upstate New York. And I'm using your podcast as a platform to make a demand of RTS developers into the future. And as much as he is a curmudgeonly and antisocial old man, I'm sure that DJ, please call me Dan Stapleton, will have my back. All RTS...
I don't know after that,
to adopt
geez.
The SUPCOM and SINS method of zooming out and zooming in as a way of navigating around the battle map, because it is so intuitive and needs to become just as standard as left-click select, right-click attack move type of, you know, intuitive interface stuff. And I don't care if they have to redo engines to make it happen. I demand it. Anyway, take care, guys.
I will back you up, although I'm not old.
Yeah, wow.
How old do you think I am? I guess Andy's
the
only
shocker.
Person. Andy's the only person here. Sorry?
You have the demeanor of an old man.
Yeah, okay. So says the old man.
Yes.
No, I guess Andy and Norm are younger than me, but everybody else here is way older than me. Anyway, It's like I'm in a room with John McCain here. Anyway,
goiters.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I definitely agree about the zooming in and zooming out thing in SUPCOM. Sins of a Solar Empire also does this. I'd love to pimp that game because it's fantastic. It's really a much better way to get a sense of what's going on in the battlefield, and you just can't really do the same thing with it with a mini map. I guess a mini map navigation is a little bit quicker if you're good at it and you can just click where you want to go, but it's so much harder to tell what's going on because it's just little pixels moving around. And it's just wedged into a corner of the screen. It's just not as good, you know, for battlefield awareness. I'm a big fan of this.
I'd love to see something like that implemented in Red Alert 3, even though I know it's not going to happen.
StarCraft 2.
The CNC series in particular, I've every review I've done on that, I've criticized them for not letting you pull the camera back very far. And they do that for a very simple reason, which is just they want you to see how detailed they've made the units. And, you know, StarCraft 2 is going to be the same way. They don't want you to zoom out and be playing with dots. They want you to be in there up close to see all the detail of the units. They want you to be able to see, because they put a lot of thought into the unit design so that you can see at a glance exactly what unit it is you're dealing with. And you can tell... You can tell a Hydralisk from a Zealot, and they're not just different colored dots. That is a source of pride for a lot of these guys, and I do understand that, but at the same time, let me zoom out.
Yeah, and I like this guy's spirit. I demand. That's awesome. I demand. Let's take another question.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast crew, this is Mervyn Bunter, longtime listener and subscriber to the magazine. I just had a very weird experience at my local GameStop. I wanted to rant about it a bit to hear your take on it. I went into the store intending to purchase Sins of a Solar Empire. I found a single box copy of Sins on the bottom shelf. Of course, the game's not in the box. It's hidden in the back somewhere. So I take the box to the counter. I wait for the courteous GameStop staff to go fetch me my box copy. So imagine my surprise when he comes back not with a boxed copy, with a dinky paper DVD sleeve and a game manual. At this point, my supposedly secret registration code is sitting right there on the front cover of the manual. Does this seem wrong to anybody but me? It's been my understanding that the boxed copies of games are, by definition, boxed copies, so that only I have access to my CD key. Is this the standard operating procedure for retail game stores these days? Anyway, thanks for listening to my Hater Minute. See you later.
No.
It sounds like they were selling him the display model. You know, like they took the last copy of that box that was on that bottom shelf and went and found what was originally in it.
Yeah, I mean, they do. I've seen that with, I guess, console games. Sometimes they do that. They'll have a box out there. It's like an anti-shoplifting measure. They'll put a box out there that's empty in case somebody wants to lift that. You know, you take the box up to the counter and they give you the contents to go with the box.
But usually if you're buying like a secondhand version, though.
Right. And which I guess is possible that this was a secondhand version, but I don't know of. I mean, most of the time, you're buying a sealed box. He's right. That is kind of the point. You got a sealed box. Although I think you can probably trust GameStop not to steal your activation code, but
I don't know. I wouldn't even want to worry about that. You know, I would just go, you know, this is not really cool. Hello, Amazon. And no
or syntax. In the case of Sins of the Solar Empire, you can just go to sinsofthesolarempire.com or exactly. stardock.com, and I guess soon Impulse will launch, and you can get it off of there.
That's one of the cases where I think digital download. I'm sorry, I know you hate that term, Dan, but
very redundant.
Yeah, downloading a game online is actually a safer bet.
Yeah, and it's greener.
Yeah. Although people who are in love with manuals don't care how green it is, and I just don't understand the appeal of the manual myself. But lots of people, if they don't get a huge printed manual, they're very upset.
Yeah, the Sins came with a sweet poster, a couple of them.
Right. Especially if you get the collector's edition.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of kind of cool swag.
Yeah, and just, you know, a whole continent is now oxygen deprived. No problem.
Yeah, no big deal.
They're going, like at the end of Total Recall.
As long as it's Mac users, it's all right.
Oh. Yes!
Wow.
For the win!
What a dig.
Right. Before we move on, I'd like to share with everyone a little exchange I had with Dan this morning. Andy, could you cue that one up, please?
Hi, Logan.
Hi, Dan. What's up?
I was thinking this morning that it would be super if our readers could contribute to the next episode of Cat Fantastic.
Yes, it would be.
I wonder how we could make that happen.
Well, I suppose that readers could email us their own trivia questions. They could send trivia questions, the correct answers, and some fake answers to pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm worried that we wouldn't be able to find them all.
Yes, that's true. It would be helpful if they put Cat Fantastic Trivia in the subject line.
How do you spell that?
It's easy. CATFAN TASTICTRIVIA.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
You sound like, I don't know, like maybe something is missing.
Well, I guess I was thinking that they could also call in their trivia questions to 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record their trivia questions there. They might want to pause after the trivia question just a second before giving the correct and fake answers so that we can edit the question into the podcast.
877? Isn't that a toll-free number?
It is.
That's...
fantastic.
That's cat-fantastic. All right. My timing really could not have been better. I just finished Rainbow Six Vegas just a couple of weeks ago. Played it rather late. I realized that. But now I get to pick up where I left off with Rainbow Six Vegas 2. And it rocks. And I'm playing it every night along with the Assassin's Creed.
How much different is it from the first one? I haven't played Rainbow Six Vegas myself, so I might start with this one.
I really can't tell that it's much different at all. And I
believe Norm said that it was very, very similar. In fact, right. Possibly a little too similar.
Yeah, I mean, I really haven't felt like I'm playing a different game since I started.
So it's more of the same, but it's more of the same. Yeah. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, which I loved. So I'm all smiles. Chuck, how about you?
Well, I've been playing more of the beta of Age of Conan, which I can't really talk about yet. I've also been playing the last episode of this season for Sam and Max, What's Up Beelzebub, which is fantastic so far. It came out last week, so if you have not played it yet, I strongly recommend going and playing it. And most importantly, I've been choosing the finalist for our long-awaited PC Gamers America's Next Top PC Gamer Reviewer. And I will be posting our finalist on our website tomorrow. So go there around 5 p.m. Pacific time, and you will see the list of finalists.
Wow, this has been an epic contest.
Yeah, I know. It's taken a long time, and the thing is that, you know, I was kind of expecting I would be able to just go through each and every entry and go, fail, fail, you know. But it hasn't been like that at all. I mean, I've had to go back and read and reread entries, and they have all been so good. And it's been painful, actually, because some of the ones I would have liked to have been able to pass through just because they passed a creativity test, they kind of failed on the, like, being able to write test or being able to accurately, being able to accurately critique the game test. So it's been extremely tough, and I know some people are going to say, you know, well, mine was better than that, and, you know, you may be right in some ways. I mean, it may have been more creative, or it may have been, better at actually describing the game, but, you know, maybe it just lacked some other quality. But yeah, anyway,
so you may be right in some ways, but in another more accurate way, you're wrong.
and I will be posting the finalist over next week on our podcast. I'm sorry, not the podcast, the PC Gamer website at www.pcgamer.com.
TM.
Chuck, I know there are strict limits on what you can say about Age of Conan, but can you tell me, are there any nipplets?
I have actually, well, I haven't come across any. However, I do know that there are actually nipplets in,
okay,
in the game.
I wonder if I do
know there are nipplets in the game.
Yeah. Okay.
I wonder if there are more in there than there are in Mass Effect.
Well, we'll have to come back to Chuck Osborne and Nipplet Watch, perhaps in the next episode. Dan, what have you been playing?
Oh, well, I just got back from vacation, so I was playing the drinking $3 margaritas on a Mexican beach game for a little while there. That was fun.
Very nice. Very nice.
I like that game.
Yeah. But before that, I played some Penny Arcade Adventures. I played that for review. It's a short little adventure game, adventure / RPG game, I should say. That's, you know, lots of laughs if you're into Penny Arcade humor. I also played. I got to play some Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway for the first time, which I'll be writing about for this coming issue. We got some exclusive playtime with some of the cooler Bazooka squads. Norm and I were playing with that. Some pretty cool explosions and stuff going on there. Very destructible terrain and stuff like that. What else have I been playing? I've been playing around with a couple of Star Trek mods for Sins of a Solar Empire. Somebody put out a Miranda class and an Oberth class, and now an Excelsior class I haven't gotten to try out yet. But yeah, it's a lot of fun playing with those things.
Firefly mod,
yes.
Sins.
Yes.
When?
Well, there's not really a point because that ship didn't have any guns on it.
Don't True. Give me the Oh, sorry.
Beep.
Then who cares if it didn't have guns? Just do it.
Did it really not
Wait,
have
no,
guns?
No, no. I'm saying I demand.
The Serenity has no guns.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Except when they mount the cannon in the movie. For...
Yeah.
They had plenty of time to put one on the ship.
Yeah, they had guns like in the ship, like everybody had lots of guns, but the ship itself was unarmed.
Well, I don't care. I demand a Serenity mod for Sins. That's what I'm saying. I demand it, Andy.
And,
what do you
even
play?
And the Serenity mod should allow you to zoom out and zoom back in.
You know, but
it would, because the game does.
One of the things about zooming in and out that I find is that I just sit there and go like woo, when I should be like micromanaging.
Right.
So maybe it's like
and
a
then
distraction.
Everybody dies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now that you've played a game like that, the next, you know, you're kind of over it for the next one. You know, you'll be able to. No, believe me. When I was playing SUPCOM for the first you know few hours, I was doing that like.
Can you imagine if Andy was president of the United States? He'd be sitting in the Oval Office playing with Google Earth, zooming in and out of America. Look,
oh yeah, dude.
Look at all my little people.
Yeah, I think that's how I described SUPCOM in my initial hands on was, you know, it's like playing an RTS on Google Earth.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And it's
what have
true.
You been playing lately, Andy?
Even though my Steam rating says I've been playing lots of TF2. I actually haven't been playing it. We've been working on a medic. I'm your medic. Captain Spaulding's awesome song. We're working on a music video.
Oh, neat.
So I'm delving into the world of machinima, and it's quite interesting. I've really never done it before, and so I'm learning a lot and been getting some help from some friends like Polo4321. He's my boy. He's been helping me out on Steam.
Seems incredibly painstaking.
Yes. So I've been playing a lot, but all I've been doing is getting shots. We went on a server last weekend, a bunch of us from the TF2 server from PCG and MaxPC, and just did all these crazy setups where we'd run around and like throw our flamethrowers behind Spaulding as a medic and then I go back and I'm shooting the shot, you know, like half speed, so it's all slow-mo. And so we'll see how that turns out.
Do you do any of that in Gary's mod?
I'm thinking that I'm going to need to shoot some footage in Gary's mod of like a medic doing some of the voices, the voice software stuff. But I don't know yet. It's going to take a lot of time to get this thing as good as I want it before we release it. But it seems like a good time to be putting it out, especially if Valve is releasing all their cool medic stuff. So I'm pretty excited.
And you'll tell us when it's released?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Norm and I will pump up it and do
it. Shout it from the rooftop.
Yeah, do an exclusive.
Will there be any niplets?
Well, shoot.
No. Hey, with Gary's mod, you can do anything.
We have to wait. Yeah. We have to wait and find out. Is that it?
I'll have to run it by Captain Spaulding.
All right. Well, niplet watch continues.
You can do the unrated version later.
Yeah. We'll do the Logan-rated version one.
We're at the end of another podcast, and I'm concerned that we haven't heard from some of you. Have you forgotten that you can send your questions in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com?
That's
PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there. And remember to keep it brief, squeaky clean, and do not infringe on the copyrights of others. You can also be a part of the insanely fun PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.pcgamer.com/subscribe. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week.
That was
a comment, I think.
Now is that going to get bleeped out like my profanity last week was not?
Yeah, done.
About that.
That was vulgar, Chuck. Andy, could you cue that one up, please?
Again, hold on.
No. It was.
You don't want to do it live.
Tell it. Yeah. Andy and I are joined to get today by editor in chief. No, she's not in here. Sorry, bad script.
Dan Stapleton.
Major shakeup.
Okay, yeah.
There's been two major changes at the magazine. Okay. Damn it, what's with everybody this week?
Try putting the mic in your mouth.
Whoa.
Okay, I didn't mean that literally.
Okay, well, it was practically in my mouth.
Yeah. That wasn't his mouth.
What? Well, it didn't sound like a mouth.
Oh my god, I didn't need that.
Here's the one that
microphone is picking up a lot of
It's like all universal.
It's weird. None of the rest of them do that. It's the same headset Logan and I are using.
It's amazing because I can hear Sam just as well as I can hear Norm.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Whenever you guys have time, is there
and Norm isn't wearing his headset.
It's the spy microphone.
It's chaos.
Yeah, I don't want to rush this unnecessarily. Are you getting all this? Yeah.
It sounds like it's set to your built-in microphone on your laptop.
The problem is it's a Mac.
Yeah, that is.
You know, I bet that is the problem, Norman.
Yeah,
check your audio input source.
Oh, loud.
There we go.
Norm.
I think you switched it off.
You know what sucks?
Max?
What are these called? Steel sounds.
Steve Jobs?
Well, we're at the end of another podcast.
Okay, sorry. Never mind. I interrupted for no reason. No reason at all.
Do you have anything to throw out there?
Complaints?
Protests? Demands?
It's free Tibet. How about that?
Right on. Oh, and now we're going to bring all of mainland China down on our heads. Yeah, Thank you for that.
Let's go get us an Olympic torch. We missed it coming through San Francisco.
Bye.
Fantastic.
Bye, guys.